says, now, when we humble ourselves, that means you got to get rid of your pride. That means you got to get rid of all that stuff you get built up on. I'm this and I'm that, and I can do this and I can do that. You're going to have to say, I can do nothing without Jesus. You're going to have to say, I can do all things through Christ, not through myself. You're going to have to say, I need thee, O Lord, every hour. You're going to have to humble yourself. You can't think about how intelligent, how smart, how crafted you are, how gifted you are. You're going to have to say, Lord, I can't make it without you. Humble yourselves and then look, pray. We have to have dialogue with God. We have to talk to him and then spend time waiting and talk. Let him talk to us. Too many times we get out on our knees and we pray. Give God that grocery list of stuff that we want him to do and get up and we're done. God has said no more of that. He wants us to wait on him. He wants us to listen for his voice.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welsh Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my soul.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I'm going to have our reader to read John chapter 12. I want you to turn your Bibles there, verse 12 through 19, because I want him to give us a little background. I'm not going to deal with all of these scriptures because of time, but I want you to have an understanding of this story. So we're going to read from John chapter 12, verse 12 through verse 19.
John chapter 12, verse 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, verse 13, took branches of palm tree and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Verse 14, and Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, verse 15, fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. Verse 16. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. Verse 17. The people therefore that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. Verse 18. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. Verse 19. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Verse 19 is where I want you to focus your attention this morning for our message. It says, the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. But just a little while, I want to speak from the subject. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Jesus. Now, if I had some witnesses, I would get a better response than that when I said, victory belongs to Jesus. Now, let me just throw you out a helpful holy hint. This beginning of Passion Week, and in this text, the theme, victory belongs to Jesus on Palm Sunday, but on Resurrection Sunday, victory belongs to us who are in Jesus. I'll say it again. On Resurrection Sunday, victory belongs to us who are in Jesus. But we want to look at this today at victory belongs to Jesus. One of the interesting things about this is all four writers give an account of this triumphal entry into Jerusalem. For those of you who do a study on the subject, you'll find Matthew 21 verses 1 through 11 will give you again Matthew's take on his triumphal entry. If you study in Luke, Mark looks at chapter 11 verses 1 through 11 and gives his account of the triumphal entry. You look at Luke chapter 19 verse 28 through verses 44, he gives his account. But John here in the 12th chapter, beginning at the 12th verse through the 19th verse, gives his account. And John differs on a few points. He gives a different view. He adds different things from the other synoptic gospels because John writes out of the heart of God. John speaks in a language that certainly gives us to understand God's heart toward man and how Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, gave his life for mankind, whosoever would accept him as their Savior sent from God. And so when we look at this triumphal entry, one of the things verse 19 reveals to us is that the Pharisees said among themselves, point number one, the conversation was not public. I want you to recognize that it seems simple because it says the Pharisees therefore said among themselves. It's important to recognize right here as I pause that said more than the scripture says. The message underneath that was the Pharisees, which were the most religious sect, the most self-righteous sect, the supposedly holiest sect of religious Jews is speaking, but it wasn't all of them speaking. It was just the hierarchy. It was just those who were in position and power. It was those who actually countered the reality of Jesus being the Christ, being the Messiah, being the Son of God, who opposes what he's doing and where his ministry is going. It is these leaders, church leaders, that are speaking privately, not publicly. It is a clandestine conversation. If anybody walk past, they change the conversation, they act like they're not talking. It was a privately called meeting. It was not one introduced to the community as a town hall meeting. It was just the leaders getting together and speaking among themselves. And I think I need you to know, my brothers and sisters, the reason it was not a public meeting is because if the public knew what they were trying to do, they would no longer be held in the esteem that they were held in. They would no longer be looked up to as religious, holy, and righteous men. If the public knew that it was their leaders trying to destroy Jesus, that would be great calamity in the city. That's one of the reasons why they were having difficulty even dealing with trying to take Jesus coming up to the great Passover and all of the things that were to come to celebrate, where the people of God would be coming together, and those who had been looking for the Messiah, and they must not let folk know that they had plans to kill him. And notice what they say now, because the conversation was not public. But the next point I want you to see in this verse that it reveals, it is that there's confirmation of their perception. Listen to what they say. Perceive what? Each one of us, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Now listen to this. They confirm their own perception. You know, it says a lot about how you see yourself. It says a lot about how you look at your victory or your failure. It says a lot about how your perspective is on what you are engaged in doing. And I want you to see this, because when they make this statement, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Let's look at this. The perception here is we missed it. Our plans failed. Our purpose failed. Our power failed. We could not stop him. Well, some might think, well, they were simply talking about his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And you could say yes, and that was a part of it, but that was not all that they were talking about. Because these folk were in on the beginning of the beginning, when Jesus was born of Mary, a virgin, and when they knew that their king had been born, but they didn't like to whom he was born, they started their plotting and planning way back then. When Herod found out that Jesus, the king of the Jews, had been born, he inquired of the wise men, at what time did you see that star? They told him it was about 2 years ago. They told him, listen, when you find that newborn king, come back and tell me so I might go and worship him. But the Bible says the wise men went home another way. Herod found out he had been played. And so he put a decree out to kill all baby boys 2 years old and under. And so his effort was in cahoots with the Pharisees and the leaders of the Jews to kill Jesus, who was born King of the Jews. That conversation went way back there. It went there and continued up. Every attempt they made to catch Jesus, to trap Jesus, to kill Jesus before this time would ever come. And certainly, if he made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem the week leading up to the Passover, they would have missed their mark and missed their timing. And so they perceived and confirmed they missed the mark. How many of you know Jesus knew what they were doing before they ever did it? Jesus talked with them. Jesus dealt with them. Jesus was in the company with them. Jesus taught them. Jesus spoke about them. And all of these things Jesus knew every time they tried to catch him, trap him, or kill him, that it wasn't his time. So the confirmation, listen, of their perception was they did not do what they planned. But then look at the third part. This is the rejoicing in the text, because it says, behold, the same word we get binocular from. It's the primitive root that helps us to understand. They were saying, look closely. Now they're telling, look closely. The world is gone after him. Behold, what does that say? It says Christ prevails. They said what we did not prevail against him, but in the next portion of the verse, they are saying he prevailed against us. Because listen at this now. The word prevails means to overpower or to have greater strength than your enemy or opponent. And so they did not prevail over Jesus, but Jesus had greater power and greater strength over his enemies. So he prevailed, and he prevailed in the most obvious way. He comes in not riding in on a white stallion as a king headed for war, as those who were looking for him to come in so that they could begin to make war against the Roman nation and begin to set themselves free by the power of Jesus Christ in the earth realm. That wasn't his time to do that. He came in as a king, but he came in riding on a donkey and a baby donkey to show his greatest of humility. It was an untamed donkey. It was a donkey who had not yet been trained. But because the King of Kings sat on that donkey act like it had been trained for this very ride. Somebody ought to hear me here today. And his power, even over nature and animals and everything else, showed he was a king of great sorts, more than what they wanted and more than what they expected. He demonstrated his power coming through the gates of Jerusalem. And you know the story about everybody laying clothes down, and palm trees down, branches down, etc. All of those things in respect and honor of him to add to their allegiance and homage that they paid to him. But he didn't come the way they were looking for him to come, because his purpose was not to destroy the enemy at this time. His purpose was to save the believer. Somebody ought to shout right now. I said he came to save the believer at this time. So his agenda was altogether different from those who wanted the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Messiah, to come, because they wanted him to come and make war. But he put first things first to redeem the lost house of Israel and all those who would accept him as Savior and as Lord. John 1 and 11 say, he came to his own, and his own received him not. Verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them, that's us now, who believe on his name. We weren't there when he came through it. We weren't there when he offered salvation originally. So since we weren't there, he made prescription to include those of us after he came and died and rose and made it available to whosoever would believe on his name. And because we believe on his names, we now can become the sons and daughters of God through Jesus Christ. And he had to come to take care first things first. Jesus prevailed over his enemies. And that's what makes Palm Sunday so exciting, because when we look at how he entered in on this Palm Sunday, it's important to recognize that the victory was already won on that Sunday. If they could have stopped him from getting there on Sunday, that wouldn't have been a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Resurrection Sunday. But he prevailed. He prevailed. He prevailed. He overshadowed, overpowered his enemies. And because he did that, he put everything in place for him to save us. Now, here's what I want to say before I close. He took the devil's plan to kill him and use the devil's plan, but turn the results around for his good. He used what the devil meant for evil and turned it for his good. He had to die. He came to die. He made it clear, no man taketh my life, but I lay my life down. And if I lay my life down, I can take it up again. But here's what you miss. If he would have done it on his own and to himself, it could have been misconstrued as suicide. Somebody ought to hear me here. If he lays his own life down, what does that mean? Does he just simply speak death to himself? What does that mean? Does he just say, I die, and just give up the ghost and just fall down dead? Does he? But see, it wasn't just about dying, because he had to shed his own blood. So what does he do? Take a spear, puncture himself, kill himself? That's suicide. Take a sword, puncture his heart, puncture his side, bleed to death? That's suicide. So he used the enemy's plan. And he decided, this is a good time to die while they think they're killing me. Lord, I wish I had some believers and word readers in the house. And even when they hung him on the cross, he did not die till he got ready. I know I'm jumping from Sunday to Friday, but I need to help somebody in here. It was on that Friday when they were going around breaking the bones in the other thieves' body to hasten that death before the sun went down when they got to Jesus. He had already spoken the seventh word. Father, into thine hand I commend my spirit. And the Bible says he gave up the ghost. Old preacher, you say, and he hung his head. In the locks of his shoulders. My brothers and my sisters, victory belongs to Jesus. Make no mistake about it. You know you're powerful when you can take the enemy's plan and work it out for your good. That's why we as believers ought to know that the enemy ain't got no power over us no more than Jesus allows him to have. And what he allows us to go through is so that we can have the victory too. And sometimes he uses what the enemy has plotted against you to make sure you come out even larger and better and more glorious with the victory that belongs to Jesus. Tell one or two people victory belongs to Jesus. Come on, tell people victory belongs to Jesus. The doors of the church are open.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
Jesus says in Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Apostle Broadnax and the intercessory prayer team is ready to pray the prayer of faith for you. The Bible says in James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Call now with your most urgent prayer request, 1-800-237-7801. You're just one dial away from your miracle. Call now, 1-800-237-7801. Apostle Broadnax is making available to you the prayer blessed handkerchief. Thousands around the world have been healed, delivered, and blessed financially as they've used this biblical point of contact. Apostle Broadnax calls it the double action handkerchief because it works in two ways. According to Acts 19:12, the diseases departed from them and the evil spirits went out of them. At the same time, it's drawing good health, success, and money blessings into your life. call now, 1-800-237-7801, to receive your free prayer blessed handkerchief. Apostle Broadnax will also send you the double action blessing instructions, how to use this powerful biblical point of contact. Call now,